Drop that beat, bitch.
It's Hookman.
Everybody, welcome to the show.
Hey, what song was that?
That was Gay Best Friend. Isn't that cool?
Who sings that?
It's Heaven, H-E-V-E-N, sings that song, Gay Best Friend. I thought it was appropriate for this show, don't you?
It's perfect for tonight.
So tonight, everybody, welcome to Gay XYZ. By the way, I'm your host, Donovan, and we have Christian.
Hey guys, welcome to the show.
And we have Jason. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
So tonight we're talking about several things. Of course, we're going to talk about gay best friends and kind of how gays are sometimes seen as pets to some heterosexual females, and talking about that as well as much more. So if you want to find out more about us, you can go to gayxyz.com. Right now we're broadcasting offlimitshow.com until next week, hopefully. And if you want to also find out more about us, go there. You can also go to twitter.com and look up GayXYZ Show, and also on Facebook. So follow us wherever you are. So I thought I'd read an article about how some gay guys sometimes are seen as pets or props for their female heterosexual friends. And so I wonder what you guys thought about that.
I can't help it that we're so trendy. I mean, what can I say? You know, I don't really have this problem. I keep a really, really tight group, like a tight knit of friends. And majority of my friends I've had for years. So I've never really personally experienced this, not in my adult life anyway. When I was in high school, this one girl, she started drama with me once. And her response, I guess, to get back at me was, I only hung out with you because I wanted a gay best friend. And I just remember thinking, like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I guess in some way that, like, solidifies, like, a cool point to society, or at least in their mind. Right. I don't know.
So seriously, she literally said that then.
She straight up. We were in a fight, and, like, that was her comeback. I am only friends with you because you're gay, because I wanted a gay best friend.
Wow, like, what a bitch.
I'm like, bitch, you're lying. You're friends with me because I'm funny.
And fabulous.
And fabulous.
Wow, okay. That's crazy. Well, how did that make you feel when she said that to you? So she basically said, I'm using you because I need a friend who's gay and to fill my
right.
quota.
I mean, I knew it was baloney. This girl was full of drama. I haven't talked to this girl in years. But yeah, I knew that shit was baloney from the second that she said it. I'm like, okay, girl, okay.
Well, what about you, Jason? Has it ever happened to you? Or do you have any friends or female who kind of use you? Or have you felt kind of like... Oh, they come to you to talk to you about everything, about the problems and about what's going on in their lives, but they never really reciprocate?
Not necessarily. I haven't had anyone that's, you know, done that to me.
Good.
But I have had, I guess this would be a similar situation. I have had a female friend who thought that just because I was gay and she had a gay friend, therefore, you know, we will automatically become a couple just because we're both gay.
Right.
And I'm just like, no, there's more to that. I'm just like, yeah, he's gay and I'm gay, but that doesn't mean we're just going to automatically hit it off as a couple.
Right.
You know, so she was one of those type of, I'm sure she had good intentions when she did it, but I was like, no, I'm like, that's just like me sticking a random guy in front of her and she'd be like, oh, you guys are, you know, a couple now. So,
no. Well, yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah. And I think it's also, I mean, for me, I don't know if I've ever really, I don't know. For me, I've had straight female friends, of course, throughout my life, as all gay men have. But I think that a lot of times for me, they think that maybe they think of me as a pet or like whatever. I mean, I'm not saying they think that literally or consciously, but I mean, subconsciously, they just sort of see us as this substitute for their boyfriends and for girlfriends. It's sort of the in-between, you know? And right. I think a lot of times they had an impression or an idea of what it would be like to have me individually, not any other gay guy, but specifically me as a gay best friend. And they found out that I was not the kind of guy to follow you around and just do what you want. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that, bitch. You know, whatever. I just do what the fuck I want. And if you want to come with me, fine. It was more about me, I guess, than right. them. Because I was like, you know, you want to be my friend? Fine. We do things you want to do sometimes. We do things I want to do sometimes. That's what's fair. That's what our friendship is. Right. But I think a lot of them are more like pets. But go ahead.
Yeah, I find a lot of times that girls or like a lot of my close friends, they have, you know, me or like their gay best friend. And then they have like a separate group of like their like closest friends. And that is like straight guys and like just heterosexual girls and just, you know, like a regular friend group.
Sure.
I have found sometimes that, you know, you don't always get invited with those groups because you're kind of like the shopping buddy or like the let's go out on a Wednesday like, to happy hour and dinner buddy. You know what I mean? So I think that some, and that instance, sometimes that's kind of where I feel a little bit secluded.
Yeah, I think that's true as well. And I think also because we're men, even though we're like completely non-threatening to women, I think that, like you're saying, I mean, sometimes if you're going to, let's say they're having a wedding or something and they're having a maid of honor, let's say that you and this chick are always hanging out, you're always friends, you do everything together. But she wants to have a female because of her, for her maid of honor, or she wants to have a female to come with her shopping or whatever. And all of a sudden you're kind of relegated to a corner and you're no longer as important as you once were. Has it ever happened to you in that way, or have you ever felt like that or not? Maybe not.
I personally haven't experienced that. I think I've been kind of lucky because working in the fashion field, obviously, I work with a lot of other gay men and women that are used to being around gay men.
Right.
And then everything that I do with my blog is pretty much all females, and they're used to having gay guys around. So I'm lucky enough to say that I haven't experienced that directly. What about you, Jason?
Jason's like, no.
He's like, no.
I have no interest in this topic. He's like, not even remotely applies to me.
Exactly. I was just thinking about it, and I was just like,
no.
Society's growing. People are more accepting, even now, even more than they were 5-10 years ago.
Right.
I mean, we're moving in the right direction.
And more educated, I think. I think they're not as ignorant about what it means to be gay and everything. Yeah, I think you're right. I think also we as gay people are more mainstream and, you know, as you were saying, than we once were. But you working in the fashion industry, me working in the in the design industry, architecture industry, those things. I mean, it's like we're expected to be gay, I think, right. you know? Right. So it's not like, you know, it's a big deal for us, but I think for some gay guys it is. But anyway, I just thought it would be an interesting topic. Jason, you had something you wanted to mention? Talk about something else?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually just found something online and...
What's that?
Something... Okay. This... I don't know. For some reason, this is really annoying me when I look at this. Okay. So, just to change, you know, change it up a little bit.
Yes.
Spill it!
I know. I'm trying to get to it. Okay. So, there is a picture of Don Lemon and his boyfriend. I guess there it's, like, circulating online.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it. Okay.
Yeah. So, it's saying that...
Is his boyfriend white or black?
His boyfriend is white.
Okay, go on.
Which it doesn't surprise me.
Oh, but... whoa. There was some judgment in that. Okay.
Who's Don Lemon?
He's the reporter on CNN or whatever. He's black. He's the one that came out as gay, but it was a big deal, and he's biracial. Is he biracial or is he black?
He's black.
Okay, he's black. And yeah. That's who he is.
it's just pictures circulating online. It's just showing him and his friends in East Hampton hanging out or whatever it's going to be.
Okay.
Here's the problem, and I'm sure I'm going to ruffle a few feathers when I say this, okay?
I already know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
As far as being an interracial couple, I could care less about that. Okay. I mean, that is not what I care about.
Okay.
What I'm looking at is that his group of friends, which is like literally has to be at least 30 to 40 people in this picture.
Right.
So, no one is black.
Okay.
No one is black in this picture except for him.
Okay.
And this kind of bothers me for some reason.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, there is like a gaggle of people in this picture, okay?
Okay, but you have to realize, Jason, that isn't he in East Hampton?
He's
in East Hampton. Do you know where East Hampton is? Have you ever been? I mean, East Hampton is like the whitest place on earth, and it's filled with white people because it's primarily extremely, 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 extremely wealthy people, and most wealthy people are, you know, white. I'm not saying that there aren't black people who are extremely white. I mean, rich, but they're mostly white. So it makes sense that he'd be surrounded by a lot of white people. Plus. Why does that bother you? The fact that you think he has no black friends or something or what?
I think so.
Okay. That bothers you because why?
Well, because, okay. So Don Lemon is known for like some of the shit that he says on CNN.
I like him
to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I like him to a certain extent, but it's almost like he almost kind of like downplays dumbs down black people when he talks about situations that are going on sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll agree with him and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, you have a legitimate point. And then sometimes I'd be like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
So you feel like he's patronizing to black people.
Exactly.
Okay. And so you think that because he doesn't have a lot of white friends, that makes him...
No, he doesn't have a lot of black friends.
Not like himself because he's black, or is that what you're saying?
No, it's just
because look, I know what you're saying. I mean, I understand, but why? Okay. Well, I'm gonna put this. Why does someone? First of all, I don't think someone has to have a quota filled of a certain race or sexual orientation or religion in their life. So, for example, if you have all your friends and you don't have one Jewish friend, does that make you anti-Jewish? If you're black and you have no white friends, does that make you anti-white? I mean, you know what I mean?
No, but it's just. I don't know.
Why does it bother you?
It's just something that I brought up, but
talk.
It just seems like, I mean, it just, like I said, it seems like sometimes he downplays the black community when he's on TV, which he does sometimes.
Okay, well, so that's
it's
fair.
Like, but it's almost like since, you know, when he reports some of this stuff and he downplays the black community, in my mind, mm-hmm. I think that he doesn't want to associate himself with black people. I think that's what's going on in my head.
Wow.
Because, like, the whole thing with, like, Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin, and mm-hmm. when he was like doing these reports and everything, like when they had the riots, when, you know, with the Mike Brown verdict and everything,
right?
And he would make like these like stupid ass comments like live on TV. He was like, well,
right, I know,
because there was a lot of black people looting in St. Louis, in the Ferguson area, and he would just like, well, you know, I'm out here and, you know, obviously, I smell an aroma of weed in the air or something like that. And I'm like,
oh, wow, really?
Yeah, he actually said this. There's actually video. I think there's like a YouTube clip and it went viral at some point. And he was like, well, you know, obviously I smell an aroma of, you know, pot. Weed in the air or something like that. I'm just like,
well, you know, I think it's the same with gay people, though. I think I understand what you're saying. I think gay people and black people or Hispanic people, whatever, any minority, whatever, have a minority within their community that may have, like, if you're gay, there are certain gay people who are homophobic to some degree. They don't like effeminate gay men. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or stereotypical gay men or lesbians or whatever. And I think it's the same way with him being a black man. I think that he's embarrassed by certain black people, and he's like, oh, no, I'm not like that.
Yeah, because like this photo had like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people in it. I wouldn't have even given 2 thoughts about this. But, I mean, in this picture, if you look at it online, there is like literally like a gaggle and then some of some people in this picture. And it's like not – I'm just like
But on the flip side of the coin, I mean, we've already talked about different races and how people don't always identify with their particular culture. So maybe it's just that he doesn't identify with black culture. This is just like we've talked about before, people that are raised in black culture or in those neighborhoods, and we accept it then, so it's not okay if it's the other way around.
Right. I agree with you. I understand. What do you think, Jason? Or do you disagree?
I'm just saying we can't say
that it's okay for some people and it's not okay for other people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and
maybe I just have a strange way of thinking.
No, I don't think you have a strange way. I think your viewpoint is very, it's what I would typically, most black people I know think about the same type of situation.
When right. You want them to be in touch with their culture.
You want them to black identified or whatever, because your culture is important.
And be proud of your color and your culture and your race.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess that's just my thing, because I'm thinking to myself, if I had no black friends, I would just be like, it would just be strange for me.
But what if you? I don't know. What if you? I wrote an article about this a long time ago. But what if you were a black person who grew up? Maybe Don Lemon is one of these people. What if you were a black person who grew up in Beverly Hills, California, and you maybe knew one black person growing up around you, other than your parents, I mean, and you didn't have a sister or brother or whatever, and you end up going to Harvard, and you're surrounded by very few black people. And you end up going into the financial district or Wall Street or whatever. You're in Wall Street or whatever, and you're one of those traders, and there's very few black people doing that as well. So my point is, your whole life, you're black, but you've been surrounded by very few black people that look like you, and therefore you identify primarily with the culture you've been immersed in, which is the Caucasian culture, and therefore that's why most of your friends are white. And so,
well, no, I've lived a similar life like that. I mean, I was born and raised in a predominantly white neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I went to a predominantly white school, high school, mm-hmm. went to a predominantly white college.
Right.
You know, and I'm just like, it's just, I mean, and I was still able to identify with, I mean, even though, trust me, there was like a few black people here and there, but it was just like.
Well, what about me? Let me ask you that then. So someone like myself who's biracial, do I have to identify and have black friends in order to stay in tune with that side of myself? Or am I equally...
No, but it just seems like... I could be wrong, but again, this is the way I'm thinking of Don Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I feel like... And this is all in my head now. Right. But it's like, I feel like he really doesn't... He probably doesn't, like... connect very well with
and
black
he may
people
not.
or he just may be trying to avoid black people
and he
I don't
may
know.
Be and that's a, and that's his decision, that's his life to do it, but it bothers you because he's a black man, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, I don't agree that everybody has to identify with their quote-unquote race. I think that it's more about culture, like we discussed previously. I think that if he identifies more with white people because that's what he identifies with, he's more comfortable with, for whatever reason, just because he's black doesn't make him have to be around black people. And just because you're gay doesn't mean that all your friends have to be, or a lot of your friends, or majority of your friends have to be gay. So I think, for example, majority of my friends are heterosexual. I have a few gay friends, but most of them are heterosexual. So I think that that doesn't make me anti-gay or not liking my gayness any more than it does for him not liking his blackness. So I don't. I mean, I disagree with you on that. But anyway, interesting point. Did you hear?
Well, actually, a lot of people probably disagree.
That's okay. But no, I'm glad you, at least you made your point. Did you hear about the manager who was fired after his delivery driver replaced him over his skin color?
From Lowe's. Yes, I did read about that.
What did y'all? You didn't hear about? Tell him about it.
They were doing a order through Lowe's to have something delivered, like some wood or whatever. And this particular customer specifically said that she wanted a white driver. Or she didn't say white driver. She just said not a black driver.
Right.
But I can't assume that she'd be fine with a Hispanic driver either, but whatever. Specified that she didn't want a black driver. Did they try to deliver it once before and it was a black driver? Is that what happened? And sent them back?
No, it was just this one time.
Oh, just one time. Yeah. Okay. And then, so the manager, the store manager, Lowe's, said that was fine. And they ended up sending white driver and all was well. But the employee was pissed off, and then I guess it trickled its way up through corporate and management, and they ended up replacing that store manager because they said it was against their ethics, and you know they believe in a multicultural you know type of chain of ordinance, and that it was just they should have completely denied that. So what do you think about that? Do you think, you know, what comes first? Does a customer come first? And something that's kind of small, but actually if you look at it from the bigger picture, it really is a big issue, or is it one of those things, you know, should he have lost his job over that for trying to please the customer? What do you guys think?
Fuck that, is what I say, because if you're going to have equality in this country, you can't have a fucking person in a store, especially as big as Lowe's, say, oh, we're going to honor your request that we only have a black driver when we have equal opportunity laws, etc. That's obviously not going to fly with any major corporation, especially. Mm-hmm. So no, it's not acceptable for them to have done that. It was acceptable for Lowe's to fire the manager for thinking that that was okay. That's my opinion. What do you think, Jason?
I guess my thing is, why did they even want... Why did they not want a black delivery?
Because they're racist.
Because, yes, and the customer said that she didn't want a black man in her home.
Oh, well. Yeah, I would fire the manager who was dumb enough to say, oh, yeah, we can fulfill that request.
And they did. They fired him. So you
okay, well, then that's what he gets.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I bet you'll think next time
before you do some stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
See, I don't always think it's so easy because I'm sure from the store manager's perspective, he's like, okay, this is a simple request. It really is a simple request.
Right.
Regardless of its social issue, it's like, you know, do you want a green truck or a blue truck? You know what I mean?
But this is not about truck color. This is about race.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, and I'm sure in the store manager's mind, this is a simple thing to please a customer.
Oh,
and I'm sure they hoot and holler about customer service and blah, 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 blah. So I can understand from that perspective, you're trying to please the customer. You're not really thinking of it as a social issue. Now, if you are working in a company that is about equality through race or whatever it is, then absolutely not. But I could honestly 100% say I've worked for some companies that were, you know, very liberal that would, you know, bend over backwards to help a customer.
Well, what do you mean by that? They were very liberal and they would bend over backwards to help a customer. What does that mean?
Like, you know, they are very equal opportunity employers.
Yes.
You know, but they love helping their customers. So, you know, if a customer specified on something, they would probably do it.
Well, I just...
To please the customer.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I think that's okay if you're asking about the color of something or whatever, but you're talking about the color of a human being. I think it's just not okay.
Well, no, I definitely don't agree with it, but...
But you're saying the request itself is simple enough to honor if they wanted to, but I don't think it was right to have done it.
Right.
Right. Okay. Well, did you hear about the gay guy in the undercover video? Did you guys see that? There was an undercover video who showed a candidate who was gay, and he was going for a job interview. And he and a friend of his, they both went and interviewed for the same job. And one of them was openly gay, and he literally exceeded all of the prerequisites for the job. The other guy was straight, and he met, like, none of the job requirements. And so the first guy comes in there, the gay guy, he's interviewed, whatever. And he's like, oh, my gosh, you know, you're perfect. When could you start?
Blah, you're cutting blah, blah, blah. In and out a little bit.
Oh, am I? He said, oh, my God, yeah. You're perfect. When can you start? And the guy said, okay, well, you know, he told him whatever. And he said, well, my boyfriend and I just moved into an apartment. You know, when's the best time for us to, you know, da-da-da, to let him know he was gay? And the guy goes, oh, Well, let me show you Al. He said, we have a lot of people still looking for this job and more people applying for this job. And he shut him out of the door. And then the straight guy comes in, he has none of the requirements, and he hires them. He calls the straight guy, offers him the job a week later, and he said, the straight guy says, I'm interested in working for a racist bigot like you or something like that. So do you think you've ever been denied a job because you were gay? Or do you think it continues to happen?
Again, I've been very, very fortunate to work in the fashion industry, which is a very gay industry. So personally, no. If I think back early in my teen years when I was trying to get a job at, like, any fast food place or whatever, mm-hmm. I could probably say that, or it was uncomfortable. But I've never been to a job interview and not been hired. So as far as that goes, I haven't experienced it.
That's good. What about you, Jason? I don't know if you're even openly gay. Are you openly gay or not?
No, I am. Okay. I am. Okay. But I've just never I've never had the experience of, you know, not
do you
being,
talk
you know,
about
being denied a job because I was gay. I mean, I've never had that issue, but
okay.
Do you talk about being gay at the workplace? Because both of you guys are, like, pretty masculine, if you will.
Really?
Is that something that you talk about, or?
Well, that's not something I've heard very much, but okay, thank you.
I don't talk about it. First of all, I don't discuss my personal business at work because normally, like, first of all, I don't know these bitches. So, I mean, I know them from, like, a coworker standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not like, oh, let's go out and grab drinks and, you know, right. have a gay old time after work.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not like that, so I don't tell my business. I don't put my business out like that. Now there are a few people that I have become friends with through work. And now that's a different platform. They know stuff about me. I know stuff about them, that type of thing. But just the...
What about your boss?
Average, you know... No, because she's a fucking bitch. So
she doesn't know you're gay?
No.
Okay. So if you, just hypothetically, you came out to her or she found out you were gay somehow... Do you think she would fire you because you're gay or try to find a way to get you out because you're gay?
I don't think so, just for the simple fact that she always has gay men coming to her office visiting her. So,
oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I don't think she would fire me because I'm gay. I think she would fire me just because she doesn't like me. So
maybe if she found out you're gay, she might like you.
We don't have that kind of connection. Sorry.
Well, no. I know that when I was 25, I started my business when I was 25, actually. When I was 25, the last job I worked at a commercial real estate place, and they had it was extremely conservative, and I mean, like, you know, like old people, conservative, like, you know, like button up and buns and shit like that. Okay. And people had like pictures of Bush on their, you know, their fucking, you know, desk and all that kind of bullshit.
It was the 50s, right?
Basically, yes. It's like walking back into time. Anyway, but that place, I was openly gay. Well, actually, I came in there. I never said I was gay or wasn't gay. But when I was interviewing for the job, the guy, the president, the CEO asked me, he said, so are you married? And I said, you know, no. And, you know, I'm looking, you know, are you looking to have kids someday? Whatever. It's like, yeah. And these are actually illegal questions, by the way. You're not supposed to be able to ask those questions. And so we went on and whatever, and I got the job eventually and went on about my business for, I don't know, about a year, the marketing director, manager type thing. Anyway, and while I was there one day, this bitch that worked with me, she came into the office and she was talking to this woman that I worked with, Joy. And she said something about gay people. I can't remember what it was or whatever. I said, excuse me, but I'm gay. Oh, she knows what she goes. She goes, that's so gay, or like something like that to Joy. I go, excuse me, but I'm gay. And she goes, what? I go, I'm gay. And she's like, oh. And I'm like, I'm like, you know, I don't appreciate you saying that in my presence. And so that's all I said. And then from that point on, it went around the rumor mill and everybody's like, oh, he's gay, you know, what's his boyfriend look like? Anyway, just on and on and on. And then the end of my contract, it was a contract thing. I went into the office and they were going to renew it. And till then, everything was great. They gave me bonuses and I was doing a great job. Went in to renew the contract. And she tells me, she says, well, I'll be honest with you. It's between you and one other person. I go, who's the other person? I said, I've been doing this job for a year. Why would you want to hire someone else? And she said, well, we're just not sure you're the right fit and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I was the right fit a month ago. And so anyway, my point is they fired me. And so I figured that I'm pretty sure, you know, that I was fired because I was gay. Right. Now, it's hard to prove that kind of a thing, obviously. I mean, how could I really prove that that's why they fired me unless I had them on recording or something? But obviously nothing happened until they found out I was gay. So anyway, the point is that I think it happens all the time. Gay people do get fired because they're gay. And I think discrimination is rampant among gay people and trans people in this country. And speaking of trans people, did you either one of you watch Kate this week or not?
I missed it again. Oh, what happened?
Do you watch it, Jason? You don't watch it either?
I watched it last weekend or the weekend before. I haven't watched it since.
All right. Well, you guys are bitches. You're missing it. But anyway, it's a really good... The show's really good and a lot of shit happened. But anyway, she basically discovered that people have a fucking hard time. She's rich and privileged and white. And these people who are black and people who have had to turn to... street work and things like that because they were fired from their jobs and because they were, you know, transgender or whatever. And she ends up actually, one of them, she went to nursing school and she got rejected 6 times in a row, even though she had straight A's and had all the requirements and everything else. 6 times in a row, she got rejected. And it was because she was transgender. And so Kate actually doesn't know it, but she's actually paying for her to go to, she's getting her on Ellen, and then she's paying for her to go to nursing school so that she can get her nursing degree because she used to be doing sex work. So my point is people have to turn to all sorts of things because they're discriminated against, and we're still discriminated against because we're gay or trans or whatever. So there's a lot we still have to fight for, even that we've got the right to be married now. Great. But there's a lot we still have to fight for in this country being gay. So, you wanted to talk about Stonewall. I did too, by the way.
This has been a big discussion over the past few days, especially within the gay community. Is this Stonewall independent film trailer that was just released?
Yes.
And in this trailer, it seems as though they're depicting as the characters. They're saying everyone's whitewashed, is what they're saying. So I guess. Washed by the white man, as in they're not, they're like, they're, it's very Hollywood, you know, it's, they're not transgendered people that they're depicting in the movie like it was in real life. And a lot of people are really upset that they're not
staying
true to the characters, seeing as how, especially, not only do you want to tell the story correctly, but, you know, so many advances that we've had within our community just in the last 5 years alone, you know,
right.
We should be telling the story.
And I agree. This upsets me. I don't know how you feel, Jason, but it upsets me because the people who were primarily instrumental in the Stonewall riots were, it was not a white gay male primarily. It was transgender, black, or Hispanic type people who were leading the cause at this night or whatever. It was most of those people who were doing this, the work, and they don't get honored. And it's not saying that they're not reflected in the movie. It's just, why do they have to make the hero a white gay male? Why do they have to do that when in reality, that wasn't the reality? There's so few examples of that are stories told about gays that are not Caucasian. There's plenty of Caucasian hero stories out there about gay guys, but this particular story is so instrumental. And the truth to the matter is that the majority of the people were not that man. They were these people. And I find that to be a travesty. I think they should be reflected honestly and not the way it was reflected in the movie. From what I've seen, I haven't seen the movie, but just from the previews. But what do you think, Jason?
Right. It hasn't come out yet. Just the trailers have come out.
Right. What do you think, Jason?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not because not even when it comes to this, but when it comes to
just in general,
when they try to, you know, do movies in general and that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
they always Hollywood. Excuse me, I'm not going to say they. I'm going to say Hollywood. They try to
whitewash
pretty much. For example, I know when they were. This is something that I heard a few months ago. I haven't heard anything else about it since. So I don't know if it's still going through or not.
Uh-huh.
But. They were going to redo the Cleopatra movie.
Yes.
And
I heard about that.
And instead of finding a black actress to do it, they're going to use Angelina Jolie, allegedly.
Ridiculous.
So, and I guess I guess Hollywood is just like, well, they can get more money off of this person.
Of course they can, yes.
As opposed to a black actress, which I think is really, really fucked up.
Well, I think that that's all Hollywood's about, is about the bottom line. They're not about mm-hmm. artistry, really. Also, on that same note, Jason, there was a movie, I can't remember what it was called, but it was about some Hawaiian chick. And they got like Reese Witherspoon or somebody like to play this Hawaiian chick, okay? Hawaiian. So I mean, that's just another example of how they just take all these roles from these people who could be playing them, who need the work probably, especially in Hollywood, who could be playing these roles and actually reflecting it honestly instead of being played by people who are Caucasian. I think that's unfair.
Do you think that this was lack of doing research, or do you think this was intentional as far as the Stonewall in movie goes?
I think it was intentional in terms of them actually trying to capitalize on the biggest audience mm-hmm. that they could
garner. I agree,
absolutely.
You know,
well, and then the director of the movie did a little interview, and basically it was like, don't listen to the crazies, you know, this is our interpretation of it, and it's art, and it's not about what's factual. And I'm like, baloney, you again are trying to make your bottom line, because you know this is a hot topic, and a lot of people are very passionate
right.
about the Stonewall in riots.
That's like the birth point of our movement to some degree with Absolutely. Stonewall. So I mean, that's incredibly important, and I think it should be told as factually as possible. Maybe someone else will make another movie about it. And
do it, I mean, it was it is just an independent film, so
true.
Hopefully, a big studio will recognize that, you know, people are interested in this and
right.
they want to see it done correctly. And it's funny because I actually last week I got a press release on it, and they were asking if I'd post it on my blog, and I was like, oh, this is cool, a movie about Stonewall. I'm like, wow, that's really awesome. And I didn't even open the trailer. I barely read the press release, but I was like, oh yeah, maybe I'll like tweet it or something. And then the next day I saw it, just all my social media just blown
yes.
up with everyone upset about this. I was like, okay, never mind.
Well, I think, you know, it's basically, you know, I think it's true. I mean, I think we all agree on this. I think primarily it's just shitty of Hollywood to have done this, but they do it all the time. It's nothing new. Like Jason said, he's not surprised. I'm not surprised either. And I think that how do you change that though? Hollywood is ruled by a certain cast of people, and in order to break through that mold, which has been in existence since the early studio days, I don't know how that's ever going to change. As long as money is their main objective, which it always will be, instead of artistry. And I think, like Jason said, just because you use a black actress doesn't mean it won't make money. I mean, there's been plenty of movies that have used black actresses that have made tons of money, like Whitney Houston and people like that or whatever. But I mean, people have actually been able to make money off people just because of their race. It doesn't really matter. It's about their talent, I think. It's about who they are. I think that would look a lot better to actually use somebody. And Cleopatra, for example, that's, you know, at least a minority.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sure from their point of view, they're thinking if they cast a black actress, then it would be considered a black movie, which is just so silly to me.
And I also
I think
I think part of it is they're drawing contrast between she and Elizabeth Taylor, because she's kind of our Elizabeth Taylor of today.
Right, yeah.
I think that's part of why
I mean,
using her.
Right.
Yeah, anyway. What about Kim Richards? You guys, I watch Beverly Hills, but I don't know if you watch it, Jason. Do you watch Beverly Hills, The Real Housewives, or not?
No.
So Kim Richards is the aunt of Paris Hilton and Nikki Hilton and all the Hiltons and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And her and her sister are on the show. And Kim's whole thing throughout the years the show have been on is that she has like alcohol problem and maybe some prescription medication. So she's like that like housewife that's like a little pilled out, right? Right. So through the years, she's gone to rehab, and you know, we've kind of seen her like get sober and all this stuff. Well, most recently, I want to say about 6 months ago, and even the last season on the show, she took some pills on the last season of the show, right?
Yes.
I want to say when they were in Amsterdam or whatever.
Yes.
And everybody made such a big deal out of it, and she didn't understand why. And Lisa Rinna was like, let's get you like another sponsor. Like, she was all on board to like,
right.
you know, get her helped out. And she's like, I don't have a problem.
Wait a minute. Lisa Rinna is on the show?
Yes.
Yeah, she's on the show.
She's happy. I love her, by the way. But yes, she's on the show.
She's a really good housewife.
She
so anyways.
Okay.
So she ends up relapsing, goes to rehab earlier this year, and or she was arrested earlier this year for public intoxication. Was she driving? I don't know. But most recently, as of last week, she got arrested for shoplifting $600 from Target.
Why?
And she thought that she'd be really creative if she went to the dollar aisle and got like those reusable totes.
Yes, and like build up
her whole her whole cart of like toys and food and makeup. I mean, I didn't know Kim Richards was wearing CoverGirl, but okay, makeup and took it through the express line. And when then somebody stopped her, she was like, "Oh, I already paid for these." And then she filled up two carts. And within 10 feet of walking out the store, they got her and they arrested her. Can you believe that? You have all this money in your family.
That's what I said to my husband, but he said he read that she had actually lost her house and she was not really living anywhere. And I'm not sure what the deal is with her money, but I don't think she's talking to Kyle anymore, because if she were, Kyle would have been helping her.
Well, I mean, you could tell through watching the show from the years that her and Kyle were really only reality TV sisters.
You think
they
so?
They weren't really sisters in real life. Absolutely. Even Kyle said it all the time. We haven't talked in a year.
Right.
Since we filmed the reunion. That's a year, you know? So obviously you guys didn't have any sort of a relationship until you had to for the show.
Well, that's horrible.
I mean, I do think when they were filming the show, Kyle was trying her best to be her sister. But when those cameras aren't rolling, I don't think they had any sort of relationship.
I don't think that's because of Kyle, from what I saw. I think it's because of Kim.
Oh, I don't think so either. I think it's because Kyle, it seems like throughout their whole life, they've had this tug-of-war thing for who kind of is the better sister, I guess you could say.
Right.
Because Kyle, you know, wants Kim to do well and all this stuff, but Kim just constantly thinks that Kyle's attacking her, her character, and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you got to hit rock bottom to come back up, though.
What about Wendy Williams?
So, speaking of hitting rock bottom, did you guys see the video of Wendy Williams falling off stage in Houston?
Laughed my ass off. Sorry.
Yeah, I saw it.
So she was trying to be cute and step off the stage and walk into the audience, and she took a little tumble. I actually saw Wendy the night before when she was here in Dallas.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, if you watch a show or, you know, you're into her or anything, she's made it clear that on her stand-up comedy tour, it's very X-rated and it's adult content.
Yes.
You know, it's not talk show Wendy.
Right.
And that is 125% true. I mean, every word that came out of this woman's mouth was a swear word. She told the dirtiest stories, but it was so funny. And it was kind of one of those things where, like, she was just in, like, a street wig. And in the Dallas show, she was just wearing, like, black shorts and a black top. And she just kind of sat on stage and had conversations with people and just told stories. And it was actually, like, a very down-to-earth, just chill experience. And it was just interesting. She talked about how she lost her virginity. She talked about how she started doing drugs. She talked about how her son walked in on her giving her husband a blowjob.
Oh my God.
Like, she went into deep detail on some of these stories. Favorite story she told a story about how her grandma died while she was, like, babysitting her, essentially.
She died while she was babysitting her? Oh my God.
And she was cooking her lunch, and she walked in, and she said she was like 14 or 15. She walked in to her grandma's room to go feed her lunch, and her grandma had died in her sleep. And so she was like trying to clean her up before she called the operator, because, you know, 911 wasn't around back then. So
how old is she?
She's in her 50s.
Okay.
So she was saying she lifted her grandma up, and whenever she put her back down on the mattress slid off the bed, and hundreds of dollar bills were under her grandma's mattress. So she was like, that was my grandma's payment of taking care of her all that. Like, she just told these really funny stories. And I do recommend, even if you don't like her, if she comes back in town to do stand-up, if you enjoy comedy, if you enjoy hearing funny stories, I would definitely go see her.
I considered going to see her, but I just said, no. I was like, no, I didn't think it'd be that good, but I guess it was. That's great. That's cool.
I didn't go because I heard the tickets were going to be expensive.
How much were they?
Like, they were on Groupon. They had $20 coupons on Twitter. No, we're not expensive.
Okay. Okay, well, someone, a friend told me they were like $140.
Maybe for front row or something.
They were not that much. They were not.
Oh, my God. No, I would not pay $140 this year. I'd pay $20 this year, but I wouldn't pay $140.
But yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. She was on stage for an hour and 30 minutes, so.
That's awesome. Well, like I said to you before, she just, something rubs me wrong about her, so I stopped watching her show. But I've never seen that side of her, so maybe I would like that side of her better. You know what I mean? She's more real, I think, probably.
Yeah,
obviously.
It's very like old school Wendy Williams when she used to be like on the radio just chatting.
Okay. Yeah, I probably like her better that way. That's cool. Well, awesome.
At one point, she was talking about tampons, and because she was telling a story about how she got a tampon stuck up her hoo-ha and it got lost. And she was going in very much into detail. And this lady, she said, "Oh, my God." And Wendy looked out in the audience, she said, "Listen, bitch, I told you this wasn't talk show, Wendy." It was the funniest. She called this lady out. It was so funny.
Oh, wow. She should put that on video. You think she'll release a video or something? Maybe?
Maybe like a Netflix special or something down the road. Yeah. I mean, she's still getting kind of started on her.
Because I remember when she was on her show and she was talking about how she wanted to try to do stand-up and all that. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay. But no, I guess she's good at it. That's awesome. I like that. That's a good story. Good. Good, good, good. Did you have anything you want to say, Jason? Anything else you want to add for the show before we go?
Nope.
Okay. Sorry. Well, I just want to say before we go, my dog died Sunday. I woke up and my husband woke me up and said Monty died last night, or just died or whatever. And I woke up and I started bawling, and I saw him lying there on his bed, and he had been sick for a while and he went downhill really quickly, but you never prepared for it. He was like our child, and he was a family member. I mean, that's how it is when you have a pet for that long, for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I was just very devastated Sunday and Monday. And now every time I walk around the house, it's like depressing because I see him, his spots and everything he used to be. But tomorrow, which may seem odd to you because I don't know how close you've ever been to your pets, but we are having a memorial service for him. Not a memorial service, a burial service. We're burying him at a pet cemetery here in Dallas. And I got a plot for him, and I'm burying him. We're going to put pictures of ourselves in there with him. I wrote a poem for him, putting in there. And he's got a little headstone, and we're doing that tomorrow. So that'll put closure on it for me. But anyway, that was hard. So I just wanted to know, do either of you have pets or have you ever had pets? Like, have you been close to them? Or?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, in my last relationship, when we were together for 4 years, he had a dog previously. And we, within like the first year and a half that we were together, we adopted a chow mix. We rescued her, a chow mix. And she was the light of my life. And I was really, really close with those dogs. But unfortunately, you know, when you go through a breakup, you have to, you know, separate assets. And, you know, I had to make a really tough decision in deciding that it probably wasn't best that I took her, which was really hard for me.
Yeah.
But you know, it's what's best. And, it was hard, you know, so I can't imagine waking up one morning and, you know, unfortunately your dog passes away.
I think I almost had a heart attack. Seriously. I was like, seriously.
So hard.
What is what is that static? Jason, what about you?
I am a current dog owner.
Okay.
I've had my little JoJo for about 2 years now, and I love him to Reese's Pieces.
Good.
And, but no, I remember growing up, we had a family dog. Her name was Diva.
Oh, wow. I love it.
And, I think she actually had cancer and she died. And I remember when she died, because you have to remember, this is a dog that I had in that family since I was like maybe in the eighth grade.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she died about 3 years ago.
Yeah. Long time.
So, I mean, this is a dog that I've had like pretty much a portion of my life. And then when my mom called and told me that Diva had passed away, I was, oh my God, I was so devastated.
I was
too. So, I mean, yeah, I understand. I was like, yeah, because, I mean, your pets are like your children.
That's truly what
it was. Especially, yeah, especially nowadays. I mean, I always say that most people love their dogs more than they love humans.
Sometimes, but... yes, it's true. It can be very true. But, I mean, I was thinking also, I said on my other show the other day that I think as gay people, gay men specifically, we, even gays, lesbians, both, whatever, we, you know, a lot of times we don't have children, and we have these pets that are kind of our substitutes for children or whatever. And I think that, you know, sometimes it's harder for us to lose them than it is for someone else who has kids and, you know, whatever else. And so anyway, it's just a big, big hole in my heart. And I know you guys understand. So, yeah, that's it. So, so next week we'll be back with more. Do you have anything else you want to add, Christian?
I think that was it for me.
Okay. Make sure you check out Christian and his website, which is...
Yeah, ChristianAlexanderFashion.com. I have a new post on there from the other day. I am doing a campaign with a nonprofit organization called 9 Happy Lives. It's a fashion organization that... supplies jobs to homeless youth here in the North Texas area. It's a really awesome organization. So if you're interested in buying some t-shirts or selling some t-shirts or just getting being a part of the cause, you'll read about that right now. It's up right now.
Awesome. What about you, Jason? Where do they find out more information about you?
Pretty much you just go on my Twitter page.
Okay, which is?
It is Jason B Like. It is Jason underscore B B E underscore like.
Okay.
And pretty much you just follow me there and all my crazy ratchetness shit I post.
Yeah, I've seen some of the... I love the post you guys have been posting, by the way, on the Facebook page. That's great. On the Gay XYZ page. That's awesome.
I want to say welcome and hello to all of our new listeners. Yes. Because I know, you know, a lot of people are listening and people are starting to leave comments and putting likes on things and that type of thing. So,
yes.
Again, welcome. And
you
hello.
Sound old as shit when you say that.
And we are glad to have you.
Yes, so. We are. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes, all right. Well, it's getting late. You guys need to go to bed.
Well, I gotta pimp my shit out. Wait a minute. I gotta say you can find out more about me at offlimitshow.com. You can follow me on offlimitshow on Facebook and as well as on Twitter. You can also find me at gayxyz.com as well as Christian and Jason. Also follow us at gayxyz on Facebook and Twitter as well, gayxyzshow. We will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.